welcome to episode 7 of the F&M Roundup. My name is Ryan, and I'm here with Josh.
Hello.
So today we are going to, we're going to do the F&M Roundup for last week. This is going to be primarily a modern-themed show, although we're going to get a little bit of standard talk in there.
Like, we're going to do some compare and contrast
between
the formats.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. So let's just jump right in there. So let's talk about last Friday. So why don't you go first? Let's talk about your deck and how you did and such.
Well, obviously, we've just mentioned we're going to be talking about Modern. We played a Modern F&M last Friday.
It was a great tournament. 5 rounds.
It was fun. 5 rounds is really big for us.
Yeah, you don't really get that.
You know, we're from a small town, and we've been going to a new shop, and they're getting... Like, there's more players who have money in the game.
Yeah, at the shop. More good players as well, like, just solid players.
A good amount of skill. So, I was playing Grixis Delver on last Friday at the shop. And, you know, I've been testing this deck out quite a bit and playing it online quite a bit, trying to get the kinks out of it. It's a cool deck. It's also kind of a flavor of the week deck on MTGO.
Yeah, it's pretty popular.
A fair amount of play. Will that keep up? I think it's actually already on the decline, but it's still a cool deck. It has some really awesome quirks to it. So the build of the deck was really similar to Treasure Cruise Delver decks, except for it's got black, so I use that for Tassigar. You know, and the black also gives me a little bit of more spot removal than you had in Treasure Cruise Delver decks. You know, like, of course, that being, Murderous Cut and possibly Terminate.
Murderous Cut's fantastic in this kind of a deck.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I'm abusing it, of course, with Thought Scour, so it lets me cast Tassigar on 2 really easily. It lets me make a bunch of great choices, or just lets me rhyme off cantrips with freaking Young Pyro, right?
Yeah, so basically this is, if you just looked at a blue-red Delver list, that's what this is, and you took Treasure Cruise out for
Snapcaster. Oh, well, also, I should mention that Snapcaster is in there, which was never in the Delver list.
Right.
And that would be your Tassigar that
they
I was borrowing.
And Snappies.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I actually cut your Tassigars. I meant your Snappies.
Oh, okay, sure.
So, what were you playing?
I was playing Junk. A very... low budget Junk deck. It's basically white, black, red. What am I talking about? Green, black, white, like Junk colors, but minus Goyfs and minus Liliana. So there's quite a bit missing in the deck.
Yeah, that sounds pretty hard.
It is. It's very, you know, it's pretty grindy. It's playing birds into. I'm really liking Loxodon Smiter. Playing lots of Lingering Souls. Playing the full package of removal, you know, Abrupt Decays.
Yeah, the removal is kind of not too expensive to play.
And all the hand hate as well. Thought Seizes, Inquisitions, Duress out of the board. Lots of hand hate, lots of removal. And, you know, like, just value creatures. Scavenging Ooze, Cassali Pride Mage, and, of course, Seed Rhino.
A couple
restos at the top end as well.
You can replace Goyf with something that is going to be strictly worse, but it's still gonna, you know, it's gonna curve. It's gonna be doing stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, like your Quetzalcoatl Pride Mages, they're going to be attacking, and they're at the 2 mana slot, right?
Yeah.
So they are putting pressure on. They don't really win combat the same way Goyf does.
They're just not Goyf.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still think the deck's pretty strong. Like, I'm not playing against 5 tier 1 decks, you know.
Yeah.
So I can get away with it a little bit. That being said, I did miss quite a bit having the extra power level of those cards.
No doubt. And also, Lily is a win con in herself.
Yeah, she's so powerful.
And she's a win con, which is so awesome.
Yeah.
You know? There's so many synergies with the deck. Like, you know, you can be plussing her and discarding, like, the Lingering Souls, and you can still flash them back out of the graveyard.
That being said, Liliana's double black, so I got a little bit away with a more based green-white with a little bit of a splash for black rather than being black green with a little bit of white.
Yeah.
And I'm playing like a bunch of paths and stuff like that. So anyway, that's my deck. That's what I decided to play this weekend. So why don't you talk about how you did in the tournament and what matchups you had?
Well, I didn't do too awesome in the tournament. But the matches that I wanted to talk about first off was my matchup against Splinter Twin.
So this is like for me like the best deck in the format, I think.
Splinter Twin? Really?
Yeah. I think it's the most
a cool deck.
Yeah. I'll talk about it later, but why don't you keep going?
So I find that Grixis Delver has a really good matchup against Twin. Like, the Twin combo is extremely powerful, and as I understand the strat, and I don't actually play a whole lot of Twin, I play it a little bit online, it's not a go-to deck for me, but from articles and stuff that I've read about it, and you know, my own experience, when it's difficult to get the combo off, you side the combo out, and you bring in, you switch the deck over to just be a blue-red control.
Yeah, blue-red value right? Control-ish deck, yeah.
So game one against Grixis, I have counter magic and spot removal, and it's all very low-costed, and it's a nightmare to get off that freaking combo.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can get off that combo and back it up with counter magic, I can potentially just have my spot removal backed up with counter magic. I'm looking into your hand with the Jataxian Probes. I know when it's coming. I know when I have to play around it. It's a nightmare to deal with. And, you know, having said that, once I resolve something like Young Pyro and then we start to be playing these counter battles, you die fairly quickly. You know, like, it's not a good matchup game one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then game two, I am playing 18 land in my Delver deck, right? Twin sometimes plays 22, sometimes plays 23. And, of course, I'm assuming that Twin has gone to a more grindy version of Twin.
Right.
So in that type of matchup, you know, we're going to be going a lot of one-for-ones. I'm going to try and resolve something. It's going to get countered. He's going to try and resolve something. It's going to get countered. He's going to have the answer for Young Pyro, which would be an Anger of the Gods.
Yep.
So that kind of sucks. But what ended up happening was, you know, like I resolve my Batterskull, you resolve your Batterskull, and we bash into each other, we bounce them back to hand, we play it, they get countered, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a point
the Batterskull battle.
There's a point in the game where like my opponent was at like 14 land and I was at like 7 land.
Yeah.
And I just won by virtue of that insane draw advantage that I had from having less land.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it wasn't that dramatic, but, you know, it doesn't actually take... Well, maybe he didn't have that much more land than me, but it doesn't take a huge amount to have a lot less land than your opponent and just win by virtue of that.
Yeah, because, like, you're running, like... you said you're running 18 land?
Yeah,
you have things like Serum Visions and stuff to, like, just be like, okay, I'm not drawing land anymore.
Well, so did my opponent,
though. Yeah. Yeah, but you just have less land in your deck.
And also, Tasker is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because if
he... Card advantage.
When he resolves, like, in the later game specifically, when he resolves, he makes card advantage. Early game, he's just as much of a threat as Tarmogoyf, and I can get him out on two consistently.
Yeah, so insane. Yeah. The black Tarmogoyf. It's pretty powerful.
So, what matches did you want to talk... Or what match did you want to talk about?
Okay, so...
How was your twin match?
Well, I'll talk about it in a minute, but
okay.
I didn't do that well either. It was just a little bit of an off night for me. I misplayed a few times. I'm not going to say that I played perfectly. I ended up going 2-3 in the tournament. Wasn't a fantastic showing, but, game one, I got paired against Zoo, round one. And it's like the full Zoo list. He's got the four Goyfs in it. And, I want to talk about Atarka's Command. That card was just... it was so bad for me to play against. So I was playing against him, and he goes, like, turn one, Wild Nacatl, turn two, Curdape, Wild Nacatl. And I'm like, okay. And I played, like, an ooze or something. And then he goes, attack you with everything. I'm like, well, I guess I'm taking a billion here. And then next turn, I managed to get out a couple blockers, and it just made combat impossible for me because that deck plays Gore Clan Rampager, which is a fantastic combat trick. and it also plays at Tarka's command now. So it's like, I can, in combat, I have just awful blocks. Even if I have like a Siege Rhino out and he's attacking with Wild Mikado, it's still not a good block because he just goes K, Tarka's command. Or he just goes like Gorkland, run over your Siege Rhino, and then Tarka's command do 3 to you and pump everything, and then you're dead. And the Zoo deck was really good in the creature matchup.
Having said that, I know that you don't run Disfigure. And
I don't think Disfigure's that great against him.
Why not? It doesn't
kill like anything. All of his dudes are beefy. Like Kurdape's a 2/3, Wild Nakato is always a 3/3. Like, everything's always beefy past that. So yeah, he steamrolled me game one. Game two, I managed to... I was on the play, and I managed to, like, get Eloxon out and stabilize, and then just beat him in the face with Lingering Souls till he was dead.
Yeah.
And then he also had a pretty poor draw. And then game three, really interesting game. He had he had a bunch of stuff out, and he had Goblin Guide out. So he attacked me with Goblin Guide, and then it triggered, and it revealed Thragtusk on top of my library. Mm-hmm. And he attacked me for a bunch, and I was at 4, and he had 2 cards in hand. And if I could play Thragtusk, I'd Resto in my hand. So if I resolve Thragtusk, it gives me another turn, and then I Resto it, give me another turn, and kind of take over from there. And he goes, Bolt Helix. And I was at 4 with 2 cards left in hand.
Yeah.
It felt nasty, but his deck was pretty good. He ended up winning the tournament.
Yeah, he did.
And, like, Goyf was just, he went turn 2 Goyf, turn 3 Goyf, and I'm like, this is just huge, I can't block it ever.
Also, I don't think Thragtusk is something that we normally see
in jungle. Not usually. I only play one of.
Yeah.
I'm playing a couple Restos, and it's just so fun when you get to do that.
Is Resto played as well normally?
Maybe. I haven't looked at too many lists. I think it's played usually, like, maybe one. Okay. I'm playing a couple in the deck, and I've really liked it. But anyway, yeah, lost to the Zoo match, and then I played some Mill deck, destroyed it. It was like, okay, Mill my Lingering Souls, flash it back, play something else, attack. I managed to get through it, and then I played against Splinter Twin, and this matchup was... Like, I feel like Junk has a fantastic matchup against Twin. Maybe not fantastic, but when you have all of the hand hate, you just have so much interaction with the combo.
Yeah, Junk is another matchup where you're never going to... Or it's extremely difficult to get the combo off.
Because I was playing, like... I think it was 3 Thoughtseize main and then 4 Inquisition. And then I had, like,
you know,
3 Duress on the board.
Having said, with all those hand hit, you get to look in the opponent's hand. You get to be like, I don't need to worry about the combo. Tap out.
Yep.
Whatever.
Yeah, and then I also have, like, Path, which is super cheap removal, and, like, Abrupt Decay, which they can't counter.
Abrupt Decay, they can't interact with.
Yeah.
If you have Abrupt Decay in your hand and you have it up, they can't go off.
Yeah, which is so nice.
Unless they go, like, Double Twin or something.
Yeah. So, game one, I kept to, like, it was, like, Inquisition and then a couple of 3 drops and something and some land, and I was like, it's pretty good. I Inquisitioned him, and his hand was, like, he had Twin in his hand, he had Exarch and Pestermite, and then he had, like, a Bolt and something else and some lands or whatever. And I was just like, okay, well, I guess I take... Oh, he had a mana leak. And I'm like, I guess I take the leak so that I could actually have removal up to interact with the combo. And then I could just never tap... I ended up drawing an Abrupt Decay, and I could never tap down below 2 mana because he would just win instantly. Mm-hmm. And I just missed on land, and I only ever got 3 land. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't tap out to play anything because he would just automatically win. And then he just ended up grinding me out, and he Blood Mooned me, and I lost. And then game two, this is another reason why the Junk deck isn't super strong, but we were going to talk about this with fetch lands. I only get 4 cons fetch lands.
Yeah.
I get the 4 Windswept Heath, and then I have 1 Marsh Flats in my collection, and I don't have any Verdant Catacombs. So I'm playing off-color fetches. Like, I'm playing the green-red one, and, like, a Polluted Delta to fetch black or whatever. Like, yeah. I'm playing off-color fetches, right?
And, you know, comparing that to the Grixis Delver deck,
you have 8 on-color fetches.
Interestingly, I have 8 on-color fetches. The deck is still centered blue-red, and I don't have any... Scalding Tyrants. I don't have any Scalding Tyrants.
But you're fine.
And I'm actually passing on playing 4 Bloodstained Mire in favor of... flooded strands, just because I frequently don't need to, like, fetch a blue or red thing, and the flooded strand works better for me, because I need to, you know...
Because you already have the four black fetches, and you're only playing, like, a couple black cards or whatever.
I need to be able to cast two blue things in one
turn. Yeah, yeah.
Very, like, all my cantrips are blue, right?
Yep.
So it very frequently has to be cantrip with counter magic, cantrip with threat.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you like need that, right? Double blue. But anyway, so, like, I kept a hand game, too, that was Plains, Forest... And then the Wooded Foothills. And I went, like, Plains, Forest, and then turn three I played Wooded Foothills, and he played Blood Moon. And if that was a Verdant Catacombs, it could have fetched for a Swamp, and it would have been totally fine.
Yep.
But it wasn't, and I couldn't get black mana, and then I lost it with, like, eight black cards in my hand or whatever.
I actually want to take this opportunity to mention Blood Moon.
Yeah.
So the metagames that we're playing in are really far from optimized. Like, they're not like similar to playing online. And no, you know, like, even with standard, it is a little bit cheaper, so everything kind of comes together a little quicker. You know, you're going to play standard, and one of the shops that we go to, you know, it's actually just starting to get into modern.
Yeah.
And like for us, we've only been playing like modern for like maybe like 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. Well, you've been in modern a long.
Well, I mean, like we've been buying in modern.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you've been testing modern forever.
Yeah, I've been playing modern online on Cockatrice for free for like, you know, for like a year at least.
I'm still pretty new in modern.
But we've been buying cards for maybe 6 months. So this means that we actually don't own everything, and neither does everyone else. And because of this, Blood Moon is super effective.
People, and like when you play against less optimized players too, like you just turn three Blood Moon and they instantly lose because they don't play around it. And you're just like, okay, well, you're dead.
You need to be, you need to be playing around it. You need to know you're vulnerable to it.
Yeah.
And you know, like I've seen people throw, and like I have like, thrown in like a freaking mana confluence in a deck where I needed to have a mana base, and like ideally this would just be an on-color fetch land.
Yeah.
But it gets hit hard by Blood Moon. And having said that, I added a mana confluence or two to my affinity deck, which doesn't get hit hard by Blood Moon. But
well, it turns off all the things, but they usually turns just off dead the mana lands. Tap out on turn three for
Blood Moon. Yeah, I know. But tap out on turn three for Blood Moon. Whatever. Quick cranial plating, hit you for 20.
Yeah. But yeah. So something like Blood Moon, it's so funny, you just resolve Blood Moon, and then they're like, what does that do? And you're like, okay, I win. Yeah. Or like, I saw a lot of people get comboed out by Twin, and they were like, I don't understand. And then the guy was just like, oh, okay, well.
Yeah, good.
Here's how this works. Yeah. And then game two is just like, he just taps out for the combo right away because he knows people don't know it and know how to play around.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So he's just like, that's a fantastic deck to play when people don't know what they're doing because you're just like, oops, I win on turn four again.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh.
I played that deck a million times
I love playing against it. It's really fun playing
against it. It was just like, okay, like I miss a land and you have three land up and I'm pretty screwed. So like I have threats in hand and I don't have any board presence and I need to be like, putting stuff on the board. Like, I am so done right now, but let's pretend we have Mana League up.
Yeah, exactly. Because they might not go for it. Yeah,
yeah, and I actually, I was flatly done in my Twin matchup, and I was just like, I jip probed him. I wrote down every fucking thing in his hand. It was like on like, it must have been on my three, and I missed a land drop, so I jip probed him, like only losing two life. He had the combo in hand.
And you're just and like, well, I leave up counter magic.
Oh, no, I had three mana up, right?
Right, right.
So he played his thing. He tapped down one of my things, and I'm like, okay, it resolves. And I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And then he goes, it goes to his turn, and he doesn't stick it because I have
counter magic. You have magic up. Yeah. That's funny. Anyway, so, I lost that matchup, and then I don't remember my other match. It wasn't competitive. I was able to play against someone who wasn't doing something great. And then the last match I played was against Grixis Delver. Not though.
Not me.
And he managed to just eke it out. So I actually misplayed a little bit against him, and I feel like I could have done a bit better if I was really on, but I just wasn't... Modern is one of those things where, like, I'm still... Like, I'm a good Magic player, I know that. Like, in Standard, I feel way more comfortable than I do in Modern because, like, I just haven't learned all the interactions down pat yet. Because there's such a huge card pool, such a large amount of decks that are actually played that you have to know all the interactions and stuff like that to be, you know, a top player. I'm still getting there, but, yeah, he just eked it out, so...
I actually,
that being said, I played this junk list before, and I went 4-1 really easily. Yeah. So it's just matchups and, you know,
I did, drawing the right cards. I ended up playing that same Grixis deck, and I want to mention something on how my deck was built compared to how his deck was built. Right. Like, in Grixis, you have actually a huge amount of options to choose from. Like, you know, in blue, you have... awesome counter magic. In red, you have, you know, your burn spells. In yep. black, you have your spot removal. And you can
hand hate.
Yeah, well, I'm actually not. You do have, right, yeah, right, you have the option for hand hate. Sorry, I'm not running the hand hate. But you can kind of phase in and out of these things. And the Grixis mirror match was kind of sucky because it's fairly random.
Yeah, it really is. Who's on the play and who resolves Pyromancer first?
It is, aside from... like I won the last game because I resolved Young Pyromancer and then like I cast a Jit Probe, for Exian mana, like on two.
Yeah.
I get to look in his hand and it's like,
you get a token.
Well, I get a token and like I looked at his hand and it's like, oh, well, apparently you had Spell Snare and Spell Pierce to side in, which I honestly wish I had. And my deck was more of a spot removal deck.
Mm-hmm.
And then so it was like, oh, so there's a Young Pyro active that you don't have an answer to. And you have like a, he managed to go like a threat on like turn one or two or whatever.
Yeah.
He had a handful of counter magic. I had a handful of spot removal.
So you kill it. Yeah.
I eventually he taps out to do something and I blow up his threats. Meanwhile, Young Pyro is getting better.
Getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah.
There was a point in the game where it's just like, okay, he had 4 mana up and like 6 counters in hand. And I'm like, whatever, like bolt you in the face, do some stuff and then swing at you with a horde of tokens.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
So it was like the spot removal build of the deck had a fairly overwhelming advantage over the counter removal, the counter spell or E version of the deck. However, I played a burn match and got steamrolled by
it. Because you didn't have any counter magic.
Nothing. Well, you got to have the counter magic, and Eidolon is such a nightmare to play against.
Yeah, good luck beating that card if they resolve it on two or whatever.
Yeah, there's... And, you know, like, having said that, like, that deck puts you under so much pressure. Like, I find I did have Terminates out of the board, and, you know, they were awesome in the Grixis mirror, but they were so slow against burn.
Yeah, totally.
It's not enough.
Like, you want your spot removal to be trading up, not trading down. Like, you don't want to use two mana spot removal to kill a 1 mana threat, usually.
And especially because I miss land drops all the time in Grixis Delver. That is the downside for running 18 land. Yeah. And I need to be, like, tapping out in the first couple turns to be playing the cantrips to hit my land.
Yeah.
So it makes it really hard to be put under this huge amount of pressure, you know, without being able to, like, have, like, you know, a bunch of bolts or a bunch of fork bolts.
So did you win that match then?
No, I got steamrolled by the moon. I managed...
Oh, no, I meant... sorry, I was back the still on Grixis. Mirror. You won the Grixis.
Yeah, I did
mirror, right?
Okay, win the Grixis one.
So what was your final record then?
It was, like, 3-2.
Yeah, and I went 2-3. So not a great showing, but I want to mention, like, I'm really enjoying going to the shop. The more competitive Magic has been great. Because for a long time, we've just been like, okay, well, either of us is going to win. And we've actually been getting punished in the last couple weeks for putting like 5 sideboard cards against each other. Because we need to have a more open sideboard for the field because there's like 20-something people now. Rather than, okay, I'm going to face Josh in the finals this week, so let's put 5 hate cards against him, you know?
For sure.
So it's kind of, I really like that. And Modern is a format that I'm still learning and I'm still looking forward to getting better at it. And getting more of the cards as well.
So I want to talk about the reason that I'm down on the Grixis Delver deck.
Okay.
And that would be goldfishing.
Okay. Why don't you explain what that is?
So goldfishing is when your opponent is just a goldfish and you kill them without doing anything. It refers to the amount of time it takes your deck to kill your opponent if they're just a freaking goldfish swimming in the tank and take it, you know?
Yeah.
So The issue with Grixis is that it has a... Or, like, it doesn't goldfish very well.
It's pretty grindy.
It's pretty grindy.
Gets advantage when the game goes on.
Like, it's difficult for it to just be like, okay, you didn't do anything till 4, you're mana screwed, and you're dead.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really have that oops, I win thing. Yeah.
Like, decks like Splinter Twin, just go oops, I win. Decks like Affinity, I win. Burn, I win, you know?
And Junk kind of has the same thing where it doesn't have just...
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't play anything by turn 3, you're done.
Yeah. Junk doesn't do that.
And, like,
that gets way out front.
That's the difference between, like, high variance and low variance decks.
Yeah. So, right? Let's talk about... We're going to talk about... We're leaving our FNM roundup here, and we're going to talk about the main topic for today. We're going to talk about the difference between a high variance deck and a low variance deck. And we'll start in Modern, and then we'll move up to Standard and talk about the differences here. So... why don't you explain what the difference is between a high variance and a low variance deck?
Well, so a high variance deck would be kind of as like a really easy definition, something that the way that they win is really, really focused on one thing.
Right. So they're all in.
They're all in. And if the person that you're playing doesn't have much to stop this one specific way of winning,
right.
then you know, you can win really easily.
Yeah.
If they do have like that method to stop this specific way of winning, then it's really hard for the high variance deck to win.
Right.
So
what about low variance deck?
Well, so the low variance decks would be like, you know, the exact opposite. Like you're playing efficient things, so it's hard to
like individually powerful cards rather than all in on one type of synergy.
Yeah, and individually powerful cards that don't get all answered the same way would be another yep. point of it. Where like. Yeah, like, I'll go over some lists.
So why don't we go through an example of, like, so why don't you start with a high variance deck, and we're going to talk about Modern first.
Yeah, so high variance decks in Modern, and, like, these would be the top couple of them, would be Affinity is definitely one of them.
Yeah.
Burn is one of them, and Twin is one of them. However, it is absolutely special.
We're going to talk about that, but...
And then, you know, we have just a huge list of them that aren't among the top. Like, in fact, the Hexproof deck.
Yeah, Boggles. There's, like, so many of them in Modern.
Let's talk about the main ones. The Hive Mind Amulet deck.
Yeah, Amulet combo deck.
There's so many of them.
Yeah.
So then for low variance decks, for this... purpose, like Junk and Black Green Control are pretty much
like the Black Green decks.
They're similar, or you know, like they're all trying to do the same thing, like throw a bunch of hand hate out and then play a really efficient threat. Right?
Yeah, like disrupt what you're doing and then slowly beat your face. Yeah,
Grixis is absolutely a low variance deck. Interestingly, Twin is also a low variance deck and a high variance deck. We have like blue white X, so this would be like blue white black, blue white red, or just blue white
control.
It's not a huge thing. There's not many stuff playing.
Not right now in the metagame. It's not getting a lot of play.
But it's absolutely a low variance deck. And also, all these decks we've talked about are kind of control decks.
Yeah.
But I want to point out that Hate Bears is a low variance deck, and also the deck that MTG Goldfish refers to as Little Junk, which is like it seems to me to be really similar to Junk with Siege Rhino, and it's a lot more creature-y than. Or I guess it's a little bit more into those other colors than Hate Bears was.
Yeah.
But it's still similar, you know, it's an aggro deck that's playing things like Voice. It's playing things that like locks it on, and so it's playing really efficient, really big things that are actually hard to answer.
They are, yeah. So what are the what's the downside or the upside of playing like a high variance deck?
Definitely. The thing is, when you're playing when you're playing Affinity and you're going against any other creature deck, you have like this warm feeling because you know that you're faster than they can possibly be.
Yep, you're just faster.
Yeah, so you're gonna win the race, and you know, it's it makes those matchups really hard to beat.
Yeah.
It makes it quite hard to beat Affinity, right?
And this is a deck that you have in paper, and like I have it online, and we've been playing quite a bit. And Affinity is one of those decks where, like, if you get the draw, you just win.
Yeah, you absolutely
do. Like, that's why, like, the high variance thing is, like, if you get the opener, you just win on turn three. And no matter what they do, you're just going to win.
Well, not no matter
what they do. Well, yeah. But out of the board, everyone has sideboard hate for Affinity because they know it's a really powerful deck.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
And if they just get their hate card off and destroy all your artifacts, we usually lose.
Yeah.
So you can instantly win or instantly lose. Like,
and,
that's the
thing. You know, that's the issue with it. And
Game one, you're heavily favored, though, usually.
Game one, yeah, you're usually heavily favored.
But, like,
favored.
Game two, usually they're heavily favored if they have the sideboard hate, which they usually do.
I read an article on Affinity versus Junk, and what the dude said that he was, like, favored 75% game one.
Yeah.
And then game two, it was, like, 40% or something like that, right?
Yeah, because, like, they just bring in a card that says destroy all artifacts, and if they play that and resolve it, you lose.
Yeah. There's a handful of really powerful cards.
Like Ancient Grudge is a nightmare to play against.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that's the thing. Like it's a specific type of thing. It's all in on artifacts.
Yeah.
And it requires a lot of artifacts to like, Master of Ethereum gets bigger if it pumps everything.
Yeah.
Cranial Plating gets bigger buffs if it's like, if you have a lot of artifacts.
It's also really soft on Wraths.
It is.
Like, even Supreme Verdict is an excellent thing to shut down.
Yep.
However,
you can get your
Supreme Verdict is fairly slow.
Yeah, you can get them down to like 10 or like less than 10, and then you just have your
Manlands.
Stick a hat on it and die. But anyway, like, There is a risk of playing Affinity where they can just have the hand hate. But this is the thing with Modern, though. It's you have specific hate cards in your sideboard.
Yeah.
And if you draw them, your win percentage goes way up. But if you don't draw them, then you might just lose.
And the other thing is about Modern is the metagame is primarily high variance decks.
Yeah, because the power level of those things is so much higher than you get in something like
it's
Standard.
It's so high. So when you take like the low variance decks, it means out of the board, they actually can't have very many answers for you because they can only bring in, like, their sideboard is only so big, they can only bring in so many things.
Because there's so many different decks. Like, you can only actually have, like, one or two slots for an Affinity hate in your sideboard.
Yeah,
because
you really can.
You need to have a couple spots for Twin and a couple spots for the Mirror Match.
Or just
a couple spots for Burn. Like,
things to deal with faster decks or slower decks, control decks. Or
like, there's cards
decks
that do multiple things.
Yeah.
But you need to have spots for each deck that you're expecting to face.
Yeah, and especially for a deck like Affinity takes really specific answers.
It does.
And Burn is another cool deck because it blanks most spot removal because it's only running like maybe 12 creatures. So you can have spot removal build up in your opponent's hand really easily. And the hate for it is life gain cards, which are useless in every other matchup.
Yeah, actually I feed the clans in my sideboard.
Yeah,
just for Burn. It's like if I gain 10 life, that counters like 4 of your spells.
Yeah.
It just says counter 4 lightning bolts on it. Well, I guess 3 lightning bolts, but it's pretty good. But normally a card like that is awful.
Yeah, and it clogs up. It clogs up sideboard slots.
It does. Yeah.
So I want to mention that Twin.
Yeah, let's talk about
Twin. We talked about it as a high variance deck and a low variance deck. So this is a really sweet concept where, like, something like Pestermite actually beats face fairly hard.
Yeah.
You actually
3-drop 2/1 flyer is not horrible.
With like, Flash, you know.
Not in Modern, but
it's
not an unreasonable creature.
It's not an unreasonable creature. It's 2 power in the air.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're trying to play the slow game, then, you know, you can untap one of your lands.
Things like Cleek as well.
Yeah. So you have things like that. And when you're playing the combo in Twin, it's a high variance thing. You can flatly win on 2. You have a really great goldfish ability with Twin deck because your opponent taps out on 3, bam, combo, I win.
Yeah, and you're like, oops, you lose.
And really interestingly, it's also a low variance deck because it frequently just says, I'm not going to get this combo off. Put in some Batterskulls.
Sideboard out the Twin. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that about that deck. And it's like, here come more Blood Moons. Here come more things to shut you down.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to win with hitting you with a Cleek for 5 turns or whatever.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. that it's super cool that a deck can do that. And this is a reason why I don't like Twin. Because I find that it's really, really, like, you know, like, how Pod was, like, always there, super consistent. I feel like Twin is like that now. Like, not to the same extent. Like, Pod was one of those decks that's extremely low variance. Because, like, and it's really powerful. But something like Twin, like, when you play against it, it's just, like, you always have to play around the combo. And they could just be, like, they could have just sided out the combo and not have it. And just be valuing, like, crazy because you're not playing threats. And you're just slow rolling everything so you can keep mana up. And I find it super oppressive playing against it. That's just me. I don't like that kind of thing where you just, oops, I win. I don't know. That's just a personal thing. I don't like it.
It's a great...
That being said, I love beating it.
in a metagame, because, like, the high... Like, the thing with Modern is that every deck has, like, a really, really, really powerful win con, right?
Yeah.
And when you can just beat someone really quickly, you actually dodge playing, like, you know, most of their deck.
Yeah.
And being able to do that in a control deck means you have to be less specific with your control cards. Like, a big issue with playing control in Modern, and like we said, is that there's lots of decks that don't play with creatures, and there's lots of decks that play with, like, all these aggro creatures, and it's such a nightmare to have an answer for those two decks.
Yeah, it's like, you play against Zoo, and then you play against Blue-Red Control.
Yeah.
And they're, like, opposite end of the spectrum.
Or you play against, like, the really fringy discard deck, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not playing creatures, so... Yeah. Just being able to be like, well, I am going to have a really big issue dealing with your threat, but, you know, turn three, flash of my dude, untap, go twin, and I win.
Yeah. And see, this, for me, is, like, the main reason, like I do like Modern, but I don't like it more than other formats. And this is the reason why. It's because, for me, the skill in Modern is not playing the game. The skill in Modern for me is picking the right deck for the metagame and practicing that deck against every deck in the format like 1,000 times so you know all the interactions. It's not about actually playing the game in the tournament.
How is that not playing the game, though?
Well, it's picking the deck. That's the whole thing in Modern, and having the cards. Which in real life, like, you have all these, like, super expensive cards in your deck. You're, you know, we're, like, in... Something like Limited, I feel like it's an even playing field, and I get ahead by being a solid technical player.
I don't know. Like, you know, I'm going to have to really disagree with you. Like, I want to mention...
That's okay.
I want to mention a match that I played recently.
Okay.
I was piloting the burn deck, and my opponent had Infect.
Right.
Both of these decks goldfish on three.
Yeah.
Like, this... this was something that I went into, and I'm like, ah, this is going to suck because it's going to be, did I win the die roll? Okay, I win.
Yeah, yeah.
But it totally wasn't. Like, this was a really, really technical, this was a really, really technical matchup because I had to, like, I had to be playing to a point where I wanted to pretty much be at 9 infect and for him to pass the turn to me and then swing at him for lethal because he tapped out. And it pretty much gets to turn 3 and we're both just like, I have lethal, or like, we're both like, in two turns or one turn, I have lethal depending on what you have. Like, do you, like, there was a huge amount of chump blocking that I actually had to do to try and angle my lethal and eventually get in. And I ended up winning, I believe, I think I won both matches just because there was a point where I would swing with all my dudes and he would be scared of me getting in for lethal.
Yeah.
And then I would try and lock him out of being able to pump three times by playing an Eidolon of the Great Revel or maybe two.
Yeah.
I believe there was a point where I played two when he was at a fairly low life.
Funny.
And I knew he had lethal in hand. And if I hadn't played that Eidolon, I couldn't have done that. I would have had to chump block. I also have the interactive pieces of Searing Blaze and Searing Blood, right?
Right.
So there is a fair amount of interaction, and it was really cool, really technical, really fast.
Yeah, so my counter-argument, 2 weeks ago we played at the store that we know, like our original store that we go to, that has a lot lower, like, technical
skill
level
money level.
So, okay, this is what happened. I'm playing Blue-Eyed Red Control, right? Love the deck, really it's kind of a fringy deck, but I like to play this kind of deck. And I'm playing against a guy that is extremely new to the game, doesn't even know how half the mechanics work. His friend hands him a deck with Thrun in it, and he turn four Thruns and then puts two Rancors on it. And it's like, okay, well, he gave you this deck because he knows people here like playing Blue Eye Red Control, and I just can't beat you. You play Thrun in my entire deck, I look at it, and I have zero answers.
You know, but
I just lose instantly.
That's a fair point for not playing Blue-White-Red Control.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's that same thing can come up in any matchup, though.
Well,
there's so many specific hate cards in Modern.
Not
where if people want to hate your deck, they can hate your deck. Which is what I don't like about Modern. Like, if you're playing Affinity, and I'll go, okay, sweet, I'm going to put 15 Affinity hate cards in my sideboard, and I'm just going to win every time against you.
It's pretty good, but as soon as that happens, it's like, okay, I'll put the Affinity deck back in the box and take out another deck.
Well, yeah, this is the whole thing about Modern that I don't like. That you have to have specific answers, and if you don't draw them a lot of the time, you just lose. Where, like, something like Standard is a lot less like that, and Limited is extremely less like that.
Yeah, I would agree. Limited is a lot less like that. But what I like about Modern over Limited is right. with Limited, it's like you mull down to 6 and you're like, oh, this is awful. You mull down to 5, you're probably dead. You're probably dead when you mull down to 5.
Well, it depends on the format and your deck.
In Limited, deck. In Dragons.
I don't think that's true.
You're really likely dead.
I don't know. I've won a lot of things off of 5 in Limited.
In Modern, you can mull down to 5, and it's just like, oh, this hand means I win.
Yeah, see, I don't like that. I don't like having instant wins. I think it's a lot less fun to play against that. But I don't know. That's just me.
Fair enough.
Anyway, that was an interesting conversation. I didn't think it was going to go there, but... anything else you want to talk about the variance argument? Oh, I guess let's talk about variance decks and Standard.
I kind of want to mention Hate Bears and Little Junk,
sure.
where this is kind of like an exception to the rule, like because a deck like this is it's hard to kind of hate out. But having said that, both of these decks have a fairly rough matchup against all the things that are faster from it because they don't goldfish as well as Affinity Burn and Twin. Or in fact, or the other ones. But they also don't get hated out because, you know, Voice of Resurgence is a nightmare to deal with. Loxodon, you know, dodges so much ways to stop it from happening on the field.
Yeah.
Kitchen Finks, you know, it's once it's on the field, it's tricky to get off the field. And, you know, it dodges a bunch of things. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a control deck, despite most of these things we listed being a control deck.
Yeah. Cool. So, do you want to move on to the Standard talk?
Yeah, let's talk about variance decks and Standard.
Yeah. So, you see a lot less high variance decks in Standard, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why do you think that is?
Well, first of all, there's a lot less decks in Standard altogether.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Just because the card pool is so much smaller.
The card pool is so much smaller, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it takes a lot of individual synergistic cards to make Burn and Affinity work.
Yeah, like, you need, like, 15 different Lightning Bolts.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you just don't have the card pool in Standard.
No, you absolutely don't.
Because those are cards that have been printed over the last, like, bunch of years.
Yeah, and, you know, having said that, there are still a couple of the high variance decks in Standard, right? They would be Mono Red or the Jeskai combo deck.
Right.
The big issue with, I guess, either of those decks is they're always on people's radar, right?
Yeah, totally. Like, it's so easy to just be like, well, there's only Burn and the token deck or whatever that are, like, the variance deck, so I just put Drowning Sorrow on my board if I'm playing black, and I feel a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there's no way... Well, I guess for a while in Pharaoh Standard, we had a Burn deck, but it didn't have... I didn't feel like it was a very strong deck.
I liked it. I thought it was okay. Like, it wasn't like a tier one deck in that format.
It got to a point, I believe, where there would be like a week or two where
it's a metagame deck.
A lot of play on Modo.
It's a metagame deck. It's a cheap deck as well. So on Modo, it's really popular because it's cheap.
Yeah,
but like, so what's a low variance deck in Standard right now?
Well, so like most of them, junk, or I guess they call it Abzan.
Yeah, still call it junk. I don't know. Seed Rhino.
And there's a bunch of those different types of speeds of those decks. Yeah. There's a lot of good colors
but
in there.
It doesn't play a specific synergy. It's just like, here is a powerful creature.
Yeah.
Here's another powerful creature. Oh, here's another one. And I curved out with powerful creatures.
And, like, there's the Boros and Mardu decks, like, you know, they're all playing, like, pretty good threats. They're all trying to have a mana curve.
Yeah.
There's, like, the Jeskai mid-rangey decks or the burn decks or the Jeskai control decks, you know. They're all playing powerful stuff. And then there's just a plethora of green-based decks.
Yeah, like green-white, green-red, like...
Green-whatever, you know. You're running ramp and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Ramping ramp into stuff.
And stuff that costs a bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Teemer fits in there. Too, and yeah, it's pretty fringe, right?
Yeah, for sure. So, like, I don't know. So, like, the difference between them, in my opinion, like between Standard and Modern, is like if you're scared of mono red, you only have to worry about one or two decks, right?
Yeah.
So your sideboard can be way more specific, and like the hate cards aren't as powerful. But like, if you're all in like mono red, and you're going like, turn one creature, turn two creatures, turn three a creature, and like a pump spell. You just drown in sorrow and you win.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing with mono red is like over the course of like the last couple years, maybe like 4 years of Standard.
Yeah, mono red's been a deck.
Well, mono red is always a deck, and it's always there, but it's rarely like the top deck. I believe a couple years ago there was like a mono red deck, and I forget the details of it. It was on MTG Top 8. There are records of it being like a top three deck consistently through the format. And it just had a bunch of powerhouse.
Well, like at the beginning of Theros Standard, wasn't mono red like a thing?
Oh, yeah, it was.
But it was more mid rangey. And it wasn't as all in.
Yeah, it was a fairly mid rangey deck.
Yeah. It was just trying to like play Ashdell at Burning Tree, Stormbreath Dragon. So.
But you will always see like a couple weeks on Modo where mono red becomes the top deck, and then the sideboards adjust to it, and then it
goes down again, and then it pops up again when people are sideboarding for other stuff. And it's a deck that is also extremely cheap. So on something like Magic Online, where like you only want to spend like $10 or whatever, like you could buy like a super cheap mono red deck and have it be competitive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is kind of interesting. And all the new players want to play that. And then, because it has the potential for you to just win. Like, you look at their, like, $30 Ugin, and you're like, you're never playing that because I'm going to beat face with this Acheron Crusader.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is pretty interesting.
So I kind of want to mention the fact that there is a Jeskai Tokens deck and also a token deck in Modern.
Right.
And I want to kind of compare the two of them.
Sure.
So in Standard, like the token deck is really only arguably a high variance deck because you're running so much other stuff. Like in my opinion, the token deck in Standard is just the same as like the Jeskai mid range or the Jeskai creatures or
like
whatever
it's
deck.
Playing, but it's just playing Raise the Alarm over something
Raise
else,
the alarm,
yeah.
Right?
So, and it's playing
and,
the
you
Ascendancy.
You know, you're probably playing the Ascendancy too, but the Ascendancy is a card it's a good card. Well, not necessarily by itself, but with any creature.
Like, you're still playing Rabblemaster. You're still playing Stormbreath Dragon.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Yeah.
Where when you look at, like, the modern token deck, which is just completely all in on tokens.
Is it, like, Esper tokens, or
normally
black-white tokens?
It's Orsov.
Yeah, just black-white tokens.
Yeah.
So, like Lingering Souls.
Like, Lingering Souls, Spectral
Procession. Yeah.
You're playing, like, a bunch of... You're actually playing the Hand Hate in it, which helps to prevent
and, like,
it from
Anthem
just
effects,
being blown up.
Like, +1/+1 to all creatures or whatever.
But you're totally all in there, and there's not really much point where something along the lines of Engineered Explosives doesn't get you, like, a 5... Or, well, I mean, it probably blows up, like, 10 tokens, and it probably took you, like, 3 cards to make those 10 tokens.
Yeah.
So play Engineered Explosives and get, like, a 3 for 1.
Yeah.
It's much more all in on the combo where, like, you know, you can play like a Drown in Sorrow against the Jeskai token deck and they're like, oh,
okay,
damn, Mantis you got Rider. Like a 2-for-1. Yeah, Mantis Rider, Storm Breath Dragon, pressure.
Other things, yeah. That's kind of cool. So, is there anything else you want to talk about on that, or?
That's probably all of it.
Okay. Before we head out, I want to do a little talk about draft, because I love limited. This is my favorite format. But, I want to talk a little bit about Magic Online. This is a quick aside thing. I've been drafting on Magic Online for not a huge, like, maybe 6 months now.
Yeah, something like that.
Like, when Cons came out, I started to get really into it. M15 is the first format where I started drafting a lot. Like, I drafted Theros a few times, but when M15 came out, it was just like, okay, I'm going to draft this, like, you know, as much as possible, and I loved it, and then I started getting into it more. I've been loving Dragons. It feels like M15 again, which I actually really liked. I love that you just can do two colors. Like, in Cons, you were always three colors, or four colors, or five colors, or whatever, right? But in this, it's like, you can just pick two colors, you can stay open, you can try to get, like, value doing that. What do you think so far about the draft format? Have you been liking it?
Yeah, I've been liking it quite a bit. I feel like with the fact that you're not just, like, locked into the clans gives you a little more variance in what you can build.
Yeah, like, I've built black-green, which isn't, like, a clan, like, a guild or whatever, but I found it serviceable. You just play green threats with black removal, and it was good.
There was kind of some stuff that sucked in Cons where it was just like, okay, well, there's a rare where I can't possibly play this rare because I'm not in that clan.
Yeah, it's like there's a Butcher of the Horde, but I'm in Sultai. Oh.
So that's just not going to work, and you have to pass it. But I feel like there's a lot more room to splash a third color in this.
Yeah, for off of like a couple of Evolving Wilds or something.
Yeah. So, you know, it lets you do a lot. Or, you know, it lets you try and, like, center in one color and then just decide later on in the draft, what do I want to splash? And you open up a bomb rare and you're like, okay, take that and try and make this red splash work.
Yeah. I've also been, I've made a switch recently to going in the Swiss queues. Because there's three queues for Magic Online. There's 8-4s, which is single elimination. First place gets 8 packs. Second place gets 4. And then 4-3-2-2s, where it's first gets 4, second gets 3, and the next 2 get 2, and it's also single elim. And Swiss is, you play all 3 games, you get a pack for every win that you get. And I started off playing Swiss, and then I moved over to 8-4 because I'm like, well, there's more value here. Like, you know, over the long run, I'm going to get more packs playing 8-4. But I've just found that I want to play more Magic, and I hate that you can just draft an insanely sweet deck, and then you just have to mulligan a few times in the first game, and then you get mana screwed, and then you're knocked out in the first round, and you go, what happened? This is a sweet deck.
We had the last draft that we played, like, we got to the finals in it, and
In Swiss.
In Swiss, and we were in the finals, and we belly flopped hard.
It was just like, okay, well, we have to mulligan here, and then it was like, oh, we have a 10-7 mana base. Like, 10 swamps and 7 islands, and we drew, like, 5 islands and 0 swamps. And
well, there was, like, there was one point where it's like, okay, so we have 3 swamp in the opener, and
missed on
minimal thing can play, and then we miss into, like, turn 7, and he goes, like, Dromoka Atarka.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, we're dead. But it was, like, 6 draw steps in a row we didn't hit land, and we had 3 in the opener, and we just never hit land again. And it's something like that where you just kind of get screwed and you lose, and that's why I hated playing the 8-4s. Like, I want a bunch of 8-4s, and it feels really good when you win 8 packs.
Yeah.
But I think the overall experience is better playing in Swiss. And also, you really notice the level of, the players are worse in Swiss.
Yeah, they really are.
I get late pick cards that I should never get that late in a pack. Like, ever. If I'm playing an 8-4, people know the cards better, and they're like, this should never go here. I'm going to take this higher, you know? That never happens. And in Swiss, like, people misplay against you a lot more than in 8-4.
We played a guy who was at 7 mana.
Oh, yeah.
And he played
Sidisi.
He played Sidisi.
And he tutored off it.
That tutor exploit Sidisi.
And in the game before, we saw that he had Ugin in his deck.
Yeah.
And he didn't tutor Ugin.
He didn't tutor Ugin. And we were playing around Ugin, like, this entire time.
We had to leave, like, get it. Yeah. And then game, and then,
And the
yeah,
I wanna,
go ahead.
I want to mention that also at that point, he had the artifact,
that taps
like
for
that
land.
He had that 3/4 artifact that it bounces something when it enters. It's not great. And he also had the artifact that taps for land.
Yeah.
So if he had a slammed Ugin
and minus it, he would have kept that artifact
and
the
other thing,
mana rock thing.
Yeah. And maybe blown up one or two of his things, but blown up like six of ours. And he didn't go for it.
And then we bounced Sidisi back to his hand. He exploited again and didn't get Ugin again.
Yeah.
And I messaged him like, why didn't you get Ugin? And he never responded. And it was just like, okay. That being said, we had Dragonlord Silumgar and Silumgar's command. We just had so many answers to Ugin that it was really funny.
It was actually hilarious. Yeah. We were playing Limited and we could easily answer it. We had like Negate and Silumgar's command in hand.
Yeah.
And we had Silumgar.
Yeah. It's just like, could I steal that, please? Thank you. That never actually happened.
Your Ugin.
Yeah, that deck was sweet. And so far, I've drafted the format maybe 10 times, and I feel like 8 out of 10 times are just blue-black.
Yeah.
And, like, not even, like, I try to stay open as much as possible, and it's just like, oh, there's a Vulturous Aven, second, like, third pick, fourth pick. Okay, well, I take that. Or I first pick Dragonlord Silumgar. Well, here we go. Like,
yeah, here we go.
Black's open, so I guess I'm playing blue-black again. Or, like, that just happened every single time I've drafted, and I've been loving blue-black. It's such a cool deck.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
You've got to find the good exploit creatures, but you also have to find the fodder for them. And if you miss one or the other, the deck's not very good.
There's a lot of...
That's the problem.
There's a lot of things like that... I believe it's the Saltai Emissary, the 1-1
yeah.
that when it dies, it becomes...
Yeah, that's the fodder.
Those things go late.
Yeah, they do.
You can reliably
like Jeskai
pick
Sage,
them up.
Those go late.
Yeah.
Like from the second pack. Palace Familiars go pretty high.
Palace Familiars do go high.
But Jeskai Sage is just as good in that deck, honestly.
Yeah, it really is. Because you're not putting much pressure on your opponent in the early game.
Yeah, you're not. But anyway, I love that deck. That's what I've been drafting. I've drafted green-based decks a few times. Stampeding Elkhart is a real card.
Yeah.
Same with the Tarka Freet in red. That card's really good.
Oh, God. That is actually one of my favorite cards in the format.
Anyway, I've been loving the format. I'm going to draft it a ton.
When you compare Canyon Lurkers to a Tarka Ifrit...
Yeah.
First of all, a Tarka Ifrit is a little bit bigger. It costs
flips up. Yeah.
But the issue with a 5-2, and especially
five,
it would be on like turn 4.
It's a 5-1, but it's a 6-2 when you mega.
Oh, yeah, it is a 6-2 when you mega morph, right? The issue with it is... your opponent can so easily have something that makes this useless, right?
Like a 1-1.
Yeah, like a 1-1. Well, not a 2-1, right?
Yeah.
But the point with this card is that it pings something when you flip it up.
And I've noticed that a lot of the time it actually just kills a creature.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of the time it just deals with something relevant.
A lot of the time your opponent, like, attacks and they leave back, like, a... They leave back something that trades with your morph and then a value creature or something like that.
Yeah.
So you do something like you attack, you flip it up, you ping their other creature, and you make them take five or trade with this this big ass.
Yeah.
And that's not even mentioning like the Teemer Battle Rage on it.
Yeah. That's an easy win.
Yeah, that is an easy win. And it gets better with that Volcanic Trumpet Blast, whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah. Just to give it trample or whatever.
Plus 2+0 and trample goes a long way.
Anyways. We're going to wrap up for today. That was a fun chat. I really liked our modern talk there.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good. Let us know your opinions on modern, guys. What do you think? Who do you side with here? But anyway, I just want to say thanks for all the support. We've been getting a lot of downloads and stuff. I really want to thank you guys for that. If you want to ask us questions, get in touch. It's thefnmroundup@gmail.com. And I am going to be... getting into Twitter. So this is something that I've been battling with for a while. Don't really like it, but it's something that I want to be doing for this podcast and just for other stuff. So maybe next time we do the podcast, I'll have it where I want it to, you know, give it my Twitter name or whatever and start going. But
cool. We can do live tweets.
Yeah, we can be like, hey, the show's up.
I don't really know what that is. But
I don't know. And we've got to get on doing some draft videos and stuff, too.
Yeah, we really do.
So we're going
to
be working on
it. We tried to once, and then we just did an awful draft. And
yeah, we're going to get there eventually. But thanks for all the support. And as always, yeah, we'd love to hear feedback. And anything you want to say?
Nope.
Sweet. Okay, see you guys next time.